And that's an idea we'll see a little bit more about today, that Bora and Meraki really seem to be interchangeable. It's really a unique relationship as far as malachos are concerned, and that you do find some of the later literature taking liberties with simply using the terms interchangeably because they actually do seem to be literally the same malacha. So if you would ever be willing to say, in this view, argument in Mechasinah, that if you'd ever be willing to say you are chayiv two chatos for one action that has two malachos involved, there have to at least be two other malachos on the list. Not these two, they're too similar. And we saw also a possible distinction that maybe Zomer Vatzarach Leitz, and you're dealing with Avos, you're going to be chayiv anyway. But when you're dealing with the Tolda, so Chazal assigned the Tolda to one malacha, and they don't have the need to assign it to more than one malacha. So in Rabbi Reichman's presentation in this article on Apartheid, he basically sees this as Machlokas Rishonim, because he understands Rashi's view and Rabbah to be that there basically are both. So for the purposes of Hasra, you could say Borer or you could say Merake, but essentially it is both malachos, and therefore he reads Rashi to be saying that somebody who would perform this action would indeed incur two chiyuvim at the same time. While the Rambam, remember the Rambam's language was unusual, and we raised the question yesterday, what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam says it's a tolda of O toldas borer, O toldas merake. And we asked yesterday, is this a view like Rashi and Rabbah basically saying it, you could use the one, they're both equally good? Or is it a suffix? Is he basically saying that it's got to be one or the other, like Tosfos, and he doesn't know which one, and maybe he could leave it as a suffix because for the Rambam there's no nafkamina, because even in Bisman Onshin, it's not going to matter because the Rambam does not require you to do Hasra B'Shem Ha'av anyway. So the way Rabbi Reichman understands the Rambam is he thinks it's not shy if the Rambam is saying it's B'lash and suffix. He would be more clear about it if he was. So what he's saying is that it exists as a tolda of either. And you recall that in the past, we have seen the Rambam to be, and as somebody raised this point yesterday, we've seen the Rambam to be very tachlis focused when it comes to malachos. That he's willing not only to create a tolda based on a comparable tachlis, but even an av, he's willing to say that if an action has the same koeles as another action in a very strong comparison, it could even be considered an av. That's why he usually has the most generous av standards. He includes a lot of things under the av title. So that being the case, if he's so focused on the malachas machshavas shabbat, again, this is really the segue again, or the pre-segue into that topic for this week. So essentially, for the purposes of the malachas machshavas of Borer and Merake, they are identical. They have the same tachlis. So since they have the same tachlis, and a tolda has to emerge from a tachlis relationship, so it is just equally a tolda of Borer and Merake. Borer and Merake are basically Siamese malachas, essentially. They're malachas that are sharing the same tachlis. So therefore, this is a malacha, this is a tolda that has the same tachlis as Borer / Merake. So therefore, it gets one iser as a result of its relationship to both. So it wouldn't be shayach, according to the Rambam, to say that there are two chatos here, because its whole existence comes out of a comparison to the common tachlis of Borer and Merake, which is an interesting spin. So yesterday we discussed this question in a way, theoretically, where it could be the Rambam and the Rashi would be on the same page about this. So the way Rabbi Reichman understood it, it's really two distinct approaches. Rashi is saying that it's both, and each Av Memela generates its own Tolda, and therefore it was generated by two different Avos, so two different Chiyuvim. And in the case of the Rambam, we zoom right into the Tachlis, and there's only one Tachlis between these two Malachas. Can Sammy go first?
According to this review, it would be possible to be chayiv because Zohar also has the same tachlis.
So it's an interesting question because if that's really the case, it seems to be, it's worth discussing, and we'll get into that a little bit, but a tiny bit, a drop. But We saw that for some purposes, Borer and Zohar are more appropriate partners, and for other purposes that we've been focusing on more recently, Borer and Merakin are more appropriate partners. So while they all have the same broad tachlis, Borer and Merakin really seem to have close to the identical tachlis, and simply a technical distinction. So to say that it's Zohar also, it'd be hard to say, because you'd have to mix shitas in order to say it, because according to the Rambam, who's so tachlis focused, that's where this idea comes from, and he's only going to let you have one based on this theory. It's all one tachlis, so you can have 10 malachas that have this tachlis, we zoom right into the tachlis, and that's going to generate a tolda by itself. So it's not multiplying for you.
So you know that the Rambam hold that you only have one tachlis.
Right, that's what we've been saying, yeah, that's what we're saying just now, that the Rambam would only say one, and that Rashi would say two. Now, neither of these are explicit in the words. Yeah, because that's the thing, the idea is that it's, the tolda is what creates the malacha, the tachlis is what creates the malacha. So there's one common tachlis here, so there's no reason for that to generate two different malachos, two different chiyuvim. So you have Mishamer, which is the tolda of the common tachlis between Borer and Meraki. An interesting idea, and again, one that goes very much to the essence of the Malachas Machshavas idea that we're going to get into this week as well. Hi.
I want to recommend the understanding of Rashi. Shouldn't Rashi have said that Rabba was saying that you would, Rabba was suggesting that you're chayv from Borer and Meraki? Rashi says that he's chayv from
He's saying that you are, and therefore you could use either one as a hasra. Because you think about it, let's say in the context of the Chiyuv Nisa, right? That's where the Hasra is relevant. So you're not going to get killed twice anyway. Because the person is doing, the same way if he was doing Kosev and Bishul sometime, which for some reason has been our favorite two random Balacha examples. And if a person is doing Kosev and Bishul at the same time, and the person gave him Hasra for Kosev, he'll get executed for that, and it won't make a difference to the Bishul. So he could focus on one of them for the purposes of Nisa, but for the purposes of the Chatos, there would be possibly two, according to Rashi. So it's interesting because, again, this is an issue that is a machlokas in the Achronim, which doesn't necessarily focus so much on the Rishonim being assumed to interpret, to express themselves that way. So this is an interesting view. So it's worth adding into our discussion of that topic. It's also interesting, again, this was a very theoretical question, but our question of to what extent Borer and Merakit are the same malacha. So we discussed the question of, is there even theoretically a heter of la'alter for Merakit? So do we say, well, it could be, except that it's always the kli, or that was the way the Mechassinuch seemed to present it, or should we say, no, that even if it was somehow miyad, it doesn't matter, there's just no heter for miyad for Meraki, that's a Borer Heter. They're really two distinct malachos as far as that purpose is concerned. So, Sir Menashe Klein has a sefer called Pri Bikurim, where he raises the question, what would happen theoretically if you had a Zore Miad? So should we say that there is a Heter Miad, again, strictly by Borer, and not necessarily extended to the other two? Or should we say that they all contain this common element, and therefore we can start off with the same basic premises and then see if they make sense? So the example he gives is, let's say if you assume, we saw this a little bit of a discussion when we talked about Zohar, but let's say you assume that using your mouth, using your breath, is also considered to be Zohar. So let's say you pick up some food that has something on it you don't want to eat, so you blow it off and eat it right away. So that would be Zohar or Miyad Achila. So is that also a heter, just like Borer? So he wasn't sure. Of course, you could also argue that it's hard to have Ochel Mitel Psoles in that case. So you could say that maybe the same way Merake just technically has this big problem because it's always the Kli. So maybe Zohar is always not going to have Ochel Mitel Psoles as an option. Let's see, I guess maybe suction, I don't know if that works. So we could argue it's got the same technical flaw. And so that's an interesting idea to question. We also mentioned at the very end an idea we mentioned very briefly, but I just think it's interesting because of all the avenues that it opens up, and I saw another discussion relevant to this as well. So the whole Gedule Karka question, question of whether Tochen, or sorry, whether Merakiv is limited to Gedule Karka. So a number of Achronim thought that it was, such as Egle Tal and others. They felt that it was limited to Gedule Karka. And we mentioned that Kiva Eger thought that all of these malachos in general were limited to Gedule Karka. That's why he had his tshuva about Zorah by the water. And, maybe you could assume there's no Zorah by water because it's not Gedule Karka. And we raised the question of whether Borer is in that category as well, whether or not that throws a question mark into the whole thing, and whether this should apply to Merakiv. So we mentioned yesterday that there was a discussion in the commentary to the Mechasina for the Shulei HaMincha that maybe we should say that don't look to the Mishkan for Merakiv. Don't look to the model of Sidur the Pats or the Sanamonin and say, well, there, that was always Gedule Karka, so therefore this should always be Gedule Karka. Why shouldn't we look to that model? Because there it was after Tochen. So Tochen fundamentally transformed the substance. We saw that was the Rukachavar's main idea. That's what Tochen does. It transforms it into something else. So we're not recognizing its Gedule Karka status anymore. It's now something else. Which was interesting, like we said, because it goes to the whole question of is Gedule Karka a historical factor? Is it a substance? Is it describing a certain type of substance? Which it could lose, even if it, historically it was Gedule Karka. There's a lot to say about that. But we focus on the fact that if Tochen comes in the middle, so the point the Shulei HaMincha was making is L'chumra, saying don't focus on limiting it to what was in the Mishkan, because it changed its status since then. It went through Tochen and became something else, so its origin as Gedule Karka is irrelevant. And it basically was a point of Chumra, saying don't limit it because of the Mishkan. And that was derived from the fact that Tochen came in the middle. But are there any who say L'chua, that the fact that Tochen is interspersed there between these three Borer Malachas is a restriction on the scope of Merakiv, and that maybe Merakiv only applies to something that has gone through a Tchina process? So the truth is, there are those who say that. If you look in the Sefer Taras HaMalachos, he has a discussion about this at the very beginning of his discussion of Merakiv, and he notes that such major players in our discussion, such as the Magen Avos and the Egle Tal, do maintain that that is the case, that Merakiv is specifically after a Tchina phase, and he notes that the Minchas Yitzchak, the Yitzchak Weiss, does question this. He also notes, sorry?
You say it's close to Tchina?
Correct.
Not the other Svara that is in Borer, and Borer is associated, and Borer equivalents.
Correct. So this is different from Borer in that sense. So you note that this seems to be Rashi, because Rashi and I inhale the days. Right? So you remember when we talked about the difference between the different malachos, the three different malachos, and how Rishonim, sometimes even in the same Rishonim, will invoke different differences. So if you remember Rashi and Ayin Hei and Beis, if you want to take a look now, so Rashi is the first Y line, Areyu Oreg, the Hain Oreg Lamish, and he says, we have to focus on what the Gemara is talking about, but he goes on to say, Velo Dami Luzora Uboro Merakiv, and so pay attention to the words right of order here, so it impacts the next part of the sentence. So it's not comparable to Zora, Bore, or Merakiv, Dizeh, Zora, Bekashin, Dizeh, Bore, Betzraros, Dizeh, Bekemach. Right, so Borer is Bitzraros and Merakiv is Bekemach. So what's he basically saying? Saying that according to this Rashi, it seems the difference between Borer and Merakiv is the texture of the substance. One, when it was at a harder, bigger stage, so it was Borer, and then once it got ground down into a finer substance, so now Merakiv was relevant. So perhaps that's what the Egle Tal points out, that Rashi Shita seems to support this idea that the Tochen process seems to be what makes it miraculable. So that's an interesting point in and of itself. So the Torah's Malachos then goes on to make another interesting point, and he says, so what about the Rabbi Akiva Eiger we mentioned a few minutes ago, right? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger had asked, Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his tshuva, again about the water with the Zohar, remember again he has a tshuva about whether allowing water to fall, pouring water out your window so the wind is going to disperse it. Should you worry that that's Zohar? And he says he could be Megil because maybe Zohar is only by Gedulei Karka. And there's no mucker in Shas that says this. He's assuming, he's extrapolating based on other malachas that all of these malachas are Gedulei Karka related. So we mentioned that. So it's a question. So what about Borer? Is that true about Borer? Is it not true about Borer? So if you assume it's not true about Borer, so can we say it's not true about Borer, but it is true about Meraki? So the Torah's Malacha suggests that that goes back to this Rashi also. That when you say Borer is Mitzraro, so what do you mean? It means you have the grain and the pebbles fell in. So the whole nature of Borer is to get rid of the pebbles that fell in, so that's not part of the Gedulei Karka. But once you've got rid of those and now you have ground it into flour, and you want to sift out the flour, now you're dealing only with the natural substance, you're dealing only with the Gedulei Karka. So he is using both a substance and Mishkan model, saying that look at what was done in the Mishkan, and the Mishkan dealt with certain substances, and there simply was a difference in terms of Borer and Merake. Borer did not focus necessarily only on Gedulei Karka in its process, and Merake did, which is a fascinating thing. In terms of the halacha l'maaseh, this, by the way, so it's interesting, so we'll want to say a few more points, but we'll mix in with this discussion, we'll do the halacha l'maaseh of Merake now, today. So, I noticed that Rabbi Riviat, it's interesting, has a lot of chumras on this halacha, some kulos also, but a lot of chumras. So one of the chumras that he makes is that there's no distinction, he says, between Gedulei Karka and non-Gedulei Karka as far as the halacha is concerned, they don't pay attention to that at all. And if you look in the footnotes, it's not clear to me how he substantiates that based on the footnotes. I mean, again, this is a machlokas, but the maskana that he has there, that there's no distinction, it's not really clear how the footnotes back that up. He notes that the Eglital says the opposite. He discusses the Eglital a little bit. It's not clear why he's necessarily assuming that this is the case. And we'll discuss that there are those who certainly invoke this as at least a sniff, the assumption that maybe this malacha is indeed limited to Gedulei Karka, and that could make a difference for some important issues. So that's itself an interesting issue. Hi.
I think we already mentioned this, but just for, if we say that it is only relevant to Gedulei Karka, it means the ochel, the solid, or both?
So it seems like it means both, but because that would be the difference there. When it comes to Borer apparently, if you assume, let's say, the way the Torah's Malacha explained it, so it means that you have the ochel was Gedulei Karka and the solus is not. So here he said the whole mixture would presumably be Gedulei Karka. So there is a fascinating Mishnah that hopefully you've had a chance to see by now. It's been in the Mamakom this whole time. Which, now that we've understood certain yisodos of this malacha, so we can particularly have an understanding of what's being represented here. The Mishnah says, right, Nosu Mayim al Gabi Shmarim Bishvil Shiyitzolu, Umasaninin Esayayim Besudarin Bekfifa Mitzris. So what exactly is going on there? Right, so we see the Gemara goes on to expand, Amr Zahiri, Nosu Adam Yayin Solo, Umayim Slulu, Lusocha Mishmaris Bishabis, V'eino Choshesh. So you can put wine that is basically clear, or water that is clear, in the middle of in the midst of a strainer, and you don't have to worry. It's apparently Mukilagami. So if it's already clear enough, as you see, it's somewhat of a subjective term, if it's already clear enough, you can strain it with no concern. Aba Achurin, well. But if they are somewhat messed up, the word is turbid, they have some degree of stuff mixed in them, so then you can't. So Meisur Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Tarid Adam Chavish Layayin Yeno Shmara Benosu Masochem Shmaras Peshabes Yeno Choshesh. So apparently there's a contradiction to this idea. Tirgum Aziri, Bein HaGitos Shonim, that this applies at a time when all the wine was bad, as Rashi explains. Shekol Yenis Akurit, V'shosun Osom B'shmarehim, Hilkach Ein Kan Tikun De'Belav Hachi Mishtasi. Right, so what exactly is the nature of what's going on here? Right, apparently there is some hetter that if wine is already usable, so then you're allowed to filter it further. And apparently the key term here that Rashi tells us is that we look to see, is it the situation that Balav Hafi, you would still be willing to drink it. That if it has a problem, but and you're interested in getting rid of it further, you're interested in making it purer, but if you would drink it anyway, so then that's going to be permissible. And the Ran expands on this. If you look at the Ran on this Mishnah, in my Gemara, now the fancy editions move around the pages, but in my Gemara it's Men Zion and the Bays. Right, so if you had a chance to see this Ran, so what does the Ran say? No sin other than Yayin Sol Amayim Tzlulim Osoch HaMishmeres. The Keva did Tzlulim Heim. V'rubayu di'inshi lo kapti buhu. Mutter lasei sosan apil utoch HaMishmeres kidei shu tzlulim Yosef. Right, so since these substances are basically clear, and most people are not makbid about whatever is in them, so then you're allowed to go further and make them even purer. So in that situation, where it is a little bit diluted, so even though it's still possible to drink, since most people are makted, so then it's mutter specifically if you do it in a different way. So then you're allowed to do it with rags or with this alternative type of tool, as Mishnah tells us. But in the middle of the normal straining device, you're not allowed to do it. Then you're allowed to mix it in. And then he goes on to say something else. You had a time to shard and gitzlif shadayim on different shu hashmarim and ayayin, v'chol ayayin kiguf echadu. Or maybe at that time it has not yet separated, and all the wine is still considered to be one thing. V'ein kam mishum borer, v'chein kasef harab, v'rechef smichol shabbos. V'chein matad diver emofasi. That's also how the riff sounds. So there are a couple of fascinating principles that are emerging from here. Right? That basically we have three levels. Right, we have a level where it's mamash nisr daraisa. If you have drinks that are unusable, so then if you put it through a strainer and make it usable, so that's going to be an nisr daraisa. You have a heter, where something which is usable and people would drink it anyway, most people would drink it anyway, so then it's mutter, even if you want to take it further. And if it's somewhere in between, that a lot of people would not drink it the way it is, but it's somewhat drinkable, but people wouldn't want to. Most people wouldn't want to. So then it's asur midrabana, and you can do it with a shinui. And that's an in-between stage. So that's a fascinating idea. So why would you say, for example, what's the idea that it's mutter if you could drink it anyway? Why should that be mutter? There are a number of svaris here that you see. Sammy?
It's not really a tikkun.
So that's how some say that it's not really a tikkun, and you could come on to that as well, but first it may be an even more basic approach.
Merake.
So when it's not merake, what do you mean? What's the definition of merake then, according to
you? Merake being similar to what we were saying by Tochi, that it's making it something new. This isn't something new.
See, that's really a different way of saying the same thing. I'm saying in terms of that's nothing new. In terms of tochen, so tochen is a little bit unusual in that sense because every malacha is a tikkun, but tochen, because of its basic everyday usage, you're always cutting up food, So the idea that Tochen really has to be transformative was a little bit particular to Tochen. But it's always true that it needs to be a tikkun. So that's what you just said, that it needs, maybe it's not considered a tikkun. So you find that approach as well. But that's not the only approach. Hi?
If you say that Maraka is leaving the psola on the top, and if you can drink it all in anyway, you didn't leave any psola out in Maraka.
But if you could have drank it that way, but here the din is that even if you, it's mutter because you could drink it that way, even if you don't.
So therefore, you didn't leave any psola.
You're saying it's not called psola, nothing is
right.
called psola.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's perhaps a different way of phrasing one of these. So one of the ideas which Degli Pal expresses, and which really the Ran just said, the Ran that we just saw, is that maybe they're not called two substances. That maybe, so the Ran said it specifically within the Hefter of the Gittos. But you could say in general, this is what this idea of Asher Lemishtas Balabhaki means, that if that's the case, people drink it as is, so that it's all one substance, and there's no Isser Borer or Merakid or Borakid to separate one thing from itself. So maybe that's the case, that even though theoretically you'd rather have it more focused on the Ayin part than on the Shemar part, but essentially if they're all so connected to the extent that people just leave it as is often, so then that's not considered to be two separate entities. Hi.
What about the fact that with Borer, Tosfos said that it's all very subjective to the individual?
Correct, but then we saw also that it was even within Tosfos, Tosfos' subjectivity was focused more on assigning the title Solas to something which is really edible. But at least you're dealing with two different things. We saw the Taz about Ben Ephod became a big Chumra, which probably wasn't accepted. And so here you're saying that it's not just a question of subjectively calling something Solas, but we can't even identify it as a separate entity. So that's one of the svaras that you find. But, hi?
It's clear that it is a separate entity. There's shmarim and there's the liquid.
Correct, but if they're so connected that most people don't bother separating them.
Doesn't mean that it's not two different things.
Maybe it does. Maybe that's the definition.
Like tea, like people who use the tea, the right. actual tea leaves, or the mint tea leaf that they put in their, thing. It's clearly two separate entities. One is
necessarily. We'll see that's a discussion as well in terms of the tea. So clear. But that aside, it's a lot of foods are made up of different substances together and they become one thing. So maybe this is called one thing. Shmarim and Yayin have things mixed in. So the problem is, as the Egli Tal goes on to point out, that doesn't explain everything. Because the Egli Tal comments that the smag also applies this heter of the Mishnah to a situation where you have chips of some substance inside the wine. But the chips are the kind that people, again, will drink it with them in them. They're not going to be mocked to take them out. So you have the same svara that people, I know we can't relate to this nowadays, we have pure drinking substances. Once upon a time, you didn't have everybody doing all your work for you in terms of preparing the wine. So there, it's the same standard in terms of people would drink it anyway. But it's much harder to say that that's a part of the wine. It just happens to be there and people are makbid on it. So Egli Tal says, Mameli, you have to say that a different svara. That you have to say, like Sammy was just saying, that there it's not considered a tikkun. That if the drink is basically just as edible with it or without it, so then the tikkun doesn't register on the radar screen. So if that's the case, he then suggests that the standard may still be a little bit different. That in order for that to be mutter, you would really need absolutely most people would drink it without, for there to be no iser at all. While when it comes to the shmarim, so then the idea that there's a difference between what most people would drink and what some people would drink doesn't necessarily maintain for this heter of the smag. Now there is a third svar, the lavush. The lavush suggests that what this basically means is that if you have something that people normally drink anyway, so then it means that even if there's anything to separate out, they basically do that with their mouth, they do that with their teeth. So, sorry?
That's what I figured it meant, that people would drink that anyway, so they would eat it.
Yeah, but it says basically the drink part is basically separated out by your internal body. So he says, so therefore, having something do that externally is not significant. That's how the Lubavitch understands. Right, we saw that was an unusual way of expressing it, so to hear this is a little bit unusual. We thought that was a little bit unusual. This is also a little bit unusual, but this is to be aware of. It's a third approach to this whole idea of what it means to say that it's mutter, because you can do it anyway. So we basically see that in order for something to be merakei, so it emerges from the poskim based on the Gemara, that to be an iser d'oraisa of merakei, so you need two things. One is, it needs to be that what you're doing is necessary, that it's a real tikkun. And it needs to be that you're using a kli that is special for this purpose. Right? And that's what we see also, that the Mishnah had made this distinction about the sudarit and kli for mitzvahs, which apparently applies in an in-between state, as the Ron explained. So when you have both a usual kind of kli, and most people aren't makbid, or most people will drink it anyway, or some people are makbid, so then you have two svaras lahakel, and that's why it becomes mutter. So this idea that different kalim create an in-between stage, so where did we see this before? Sorry, sound familiar? Right, borer. And borer, now we understand that borer and merakeh are basically alter egos. So now we know in the Gemara Nayin Dalet Amud Aleph talks about this version of the Braisa. Right, so that all the versions that basically say that if you use a normal kli for borer, so then that's chayav chatas. So then lo yivur, right? That's an isur drabanan. So that's basically the principle that's emerging here, that in order to be a daraisa, so you need two things. You need for it to be a kli that is miyuchad for this, and you need it also to be a situation where your breira is crucial to make it edible, and without that, it's going to be a lower level. Hi.
Does that mean edible is the subjectivity part, though?
Correct. Correct.
And it's not based on the single person, it's based on the cloth.
That's how the Ron expresses it.
So, which is different than Borer.
Well, yes and no. It could be, right. You know, it could be also that's true also when it comes to Borer, depending on the whole mixture of the factors here. Hi.
It goes without saying that if you want to do Borer, even if most people don't, then it's, I mean, Meraki, then still Meraki.
So it may be that it may be Meraki or Abana, but it depends why you want to do it. You want to do it because it's inedible without it, and most people would, it's drinkable, but most people would be makbid. That's where the subjectivity comes in. And it doesn't go without saying, it's a lot of discussion. And that's where this whole run is coming to try to figure out.
You're saying just because you're an istinus doesn't mean you can create an isser?
So an istinus could be, you could create an isser, maybe it's an isser drabanan. But Beribiyat assumes that an istinus is an absolute isser, I think an isser deraisa. But the standard then becomes that he's assuming that an istinus mamash won't touch it without this, and therefore that becomes absolutely undrinkable for him. Where in the Mishnah, we're not necessarily talking about that it's undrinkable, we're talking about that you prefer it this way. And most, so that the standard of what most people do and most people don't do becomes relevant. So this is a whole part of the discussion in terms of how the halacha lemaisa comes about in terms of dealing with these two factors. It's also a discussion. So why? What do we mean then when we talk about the, for example, in Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph or elsewhere, about the different standards and tools? To go back to the Megillah, the kelim shonim. So what's the idea? What's the idea of kanun and tamkei? What's different about them from the other two? So it could be that one is designated specifically for breira, and that the other is considered to be not derech breira, like kind of klaachriyad, which normally is an eser derabanan. Right, and we saw that maybe when it comes to borer, you need all three to be not kederech in order to come together to be mutter. You deal with every possible concern. Or it could be that maybe it's a question of effectiveness. That's what the Sefer Talmalachas wants to suggest. That maybe enough of Kvara, they do the job 100%. While when it comes to these other tools, so you really have to do most of it yourself. It's just the tool makes it a little bit easier. So perhaps it's really considered on some level biyad. But because you're using a selecting tool while you're doing it, so then that has the appearance of Bora. And therefore, maybe that's why it's us in the Drabban. So it's funny, it's a little bit the opposite svar. Right? The first svar says that it's an act of Braira that's done Shalom Kedera. And the other svar is saying the opposite, that it's not an act of Braira, that is Dera Braira, because it's got a tool. So therefore, we should Aser for that reason. So basically, it's two opposite perspectives about what's creating the Iser. Is it the Borer that's Aser, even though it's Lokedera? Or is it not an active Borer, but because it looks like it, it's really Aser for that reason? So either way, it comes out to be an Issa Drabanan with these Kalim, and then sometimes we find that it's Mutter Al Yidei Shinu. Okay, so how does this play out in the Halacha Maisa? I've got late already, so we'll try to quickly just mention a few points. So hopefully tomorrow we can move on, definitely tomorrow we can move on to Machmok Shabbos. One question, hopefully we can finish the Meraki points in the next few minutes. So one of the issues that comes up, here's one issue that the Ribiad is making on. So he assumes, and many others assume this way as well, that it's not a tarubis, what we saw when it came to Borer also, although it's interesting because Ribiad was not as makel when it came to Borer, but this is the same svara basically, that it's not a tarubis if things are big and distinct. So he says, let's say you have an egg in liquid. So it's one thing if you have a salad which has all kinds of liquids mixed in, and you want to use a slotted spoon to pick up the salad and let the liquid drain out. So that, many assume, is a problem. That is a miraculous bekul. But if you have something big, like a egg or some type of large vegetable that's in liquid, so then he assumes that's not a tarubis, that's very nicker, you can see it as two separate entities. And so to use a slotted spoon for that purpose, he assumes is mutter. Then he goes on to say, another question that I was interested in, but he thinks the same svara applies if you have a contact lens in a solution that has a perforated holder that lets the liquid fall out when you take it out. So he says there as well, there is a clear hecker between the contact lens and the liquid, and he assumes that that is mutter. That's not a problem of Meraki, even though again, if it was smaller items that were more mixed in with the liquid, it would be more of a problem. There is a big discussion in terms of salt shakers. So there's a couple of different madrigas of the question when it comes to a salt shaker. So using a salt shaker stone, you know, the fact that you have a substance that you want to dispense, and you don't want to fold, you don't want it all to fall out at once. You want it to fall out in smaller quantities. So you have one small opening or many smaller openings, so that only some of them come out. So here, I think almost everyone assumes that that's mutter, that that's not called borer, because you're just taking out some of the substance. You're not looking to separate one substance from the other. So the fact that you only want some salt to come out and not all the salt to come out, again, that's no different from any other dispensing from a plea. And pretty sure that everyone assumes should be mutter. Hi.
That's obviously not talking about the newer salt shakers, not the old ones with rice on the bottom.
Oh, so then, look at it. We're just taking one step at a time. So first, if it's just salt inside, and you're using a salt shaker because you only want some salt and not all the salt, so that's not a problem. Even though it looks more like a sieve, it's still no different than when you pour your orange juice. You don't want to pour the entire carton into your cup. You only want some of it. So here, you pour it such a way that you're only pouring some of it. There is a suffix in the Prima Gaudin that what if it's a substance that has bigger pieces and smaller pieces, and you're interested only in the smaller pieces, so you're happy that this kli holds back the bigger pieces. He's not sure. That gets into a little bit the min echad question. Maybe it's still all one thing. Maybe there's no borer in such a thing. Is there a sad lahachmir by Meraki? It's a suffix in the Prima Gaudin. That rarely comes up, but you know that's potentially a suffix. Then the question, what about what Avraham just mentioned? So what if it's not just bigger, but people put rice inside the salt shakers? And you realize there's an issue of old salt shakers and new salt shakers. But if people put rice inside the salt shakers,
they make it so it doesn't clump up.
Got it.
Not all the time, but like the kosher salt, it says on the package when it rains, it pours.
Okay.
Even though it's rainy outside, it doesn't clump up, it still pours well.
Beautiful. So,
I'm doing this in chemistry today.
Got it. Okay. See? In synergy. So, talk about the synergy. So, in terms of that, so that is an issue. Rabbi Ribiat assumes that that is completely awesome. That's total meraki, that you're trying to keep the rice in while keep the salt out, so therefore it's an excessive big problem. He talks about the Bashas HaTzorah, it's possible to take off the cap and then pour the whole thing out and then just take out a little bit miyad. It's a very complicated procedure. Happens to be that the Sefer Talmud Lachos, he thinks this is possibly mutter. He thinks that basically it's not nicker as an act of bravery. People are not aware of the fact that there's rice and they're not paying attention to the rice. You don't see that as something that's going on. So he thinks there's a big tzad l'hakla by this. He says if it is perceptible, then he thinks there's what to be the slip of
that. You still
know
about it.
Sorry?
You still know about it. You don't want the rice.
But you're not paying attention to the fact that there's rice. You have the rice in there from before. That's just the way it's packaged. And you're not thinking, okay, now it's time to get the salt out of the rice. You're pouring out your salt and it happens to be...
If rice would come out, you would think about it.
Yeah, but it wouldn't. You know, the point is that, right? But they say the point is that you're not saying, okay, now I'm trying to separate the salt from the rice. I have this mixture of salt and rice. I'm going to take out the salt. I'm interested in the salt. It happens to be somebody put rice inside my salt shaker. Okay, so there's no active separation that's visible, that's perceptible, that's the action. So he thinks there's a big tzad b'hakol by this. So it's just interesting. There are a couple of issues that we'll mention. We may have to leave over one or two for tomorrow, but where Rabbi Ribiat is a lot more machner than some of the other svarim we mentioned a minute ago, the Dulei Karka issue. This is another one. There are a number of issues where there is more of a tzad b'hakol mentioned elsewhere than what he notes. The big cooler, though, that Avraham will appreciate is the contact lens, but a lot of the other issues is more machner than others. So.
What's the difference between this and the Rashba by Atzad Svi? Where I'm acting, it's happening with Mela, but I don't care about it.
I think he's assuming that here the whole purpose of Merakid is that you have some type of, it's more, probably closer to the Zomer Vesarach and Tosfos, that you know, if you have no interest whatsoever in the separation, that basically you don't perceive this as any kind of a Tyrubus to begin with. This is not seen as a salt rice mixture, this is seen as a. This is seen as salt that happens to have rice in it, which is which you're not even paying attention to, or you don't even see, you're not aware. So the level of attention paid to the separation is so negligible. And it's your real interest is just in extracting salt from the shaker, and that's really what you're doing. You're not interested in separating the tyrosis at all. So it's really not perceptible as a malacha in any sense of the word. So that's another issue. Maybe it's a little bit of my focus. Another issue where he's, I'll mention another point where Rabbi Ribiat is machmir, basically no questions asked, but others are not so sure, has to do with tea bags. So tea is a complicated issue in general because of the Bishul questions, which we're not up to right now. So thank you for show and tell. So, but there is another question that's discussed. So there's a couple of other issues that come up in tea.
Right now, it's not Bishop.
Right, or somehow we're set up to it before, or it's Yontif. It's a couple of different possibilities. I'm focused on this question right now. But first of all, one issue that's discussed is it an issue to take a tea bag out of water? So when you lift it up, so the tea bag is now saturated with water. So if you remove the tea bag, so water is going to drip out of the tea bag. So you're essentially filtering out this water out of the tea bag. It's going to leave the leaves inside the bag, and it's going to have the water drop out. So Rabbi Ribiat again is machmir on that. There is a tshuva of the Menchas Yitzchak, which sounds like he's concerned about that. The tshuva of the Menchas Yitzchak is a little bit mysterious. What exactly he's getting at, but it sounds like he's worried about that issue. But the truth is here also, there were others who were makel. Rav Shlomo Zalman was makel about this. It's the Shemir Shabbos Kalacha quotes. And also there's a nice sefer on Shabbos called the Hilcha Shabbos B'Shabbos, by Moshe Mordechai Karp, who's a major contemporary posek, who wrote a lot of svarim on different Yom Tovim also, Hilchos Chag B'Chag, Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos. So there, he assumes straight out that this is mutter. He says you have no intent or benefit from having this water leak out, and he doesn't think that there's any reason to be concerned about that.
Shmir Shabbos is like that? Like that.
I think Shmir Shabbos is like that. So what Ribriyat recommends, he says, if you want to take the tea bag out of the cup, he says you should use a spoon to take it out, so you're not going to have anything drip out. But you shouldn't take it out with your fingers. But here, this is where, again, there's a disagreement. And others assume that there's a heter here, that you don't have to necessarily assume that we have to worry about these drops falling out. There is a, there's also a discussion in general, so what about the tea urn, or the tea pot? Say, so now you have a mixture of, you have a mixture of tea leaves and water inside of it, and you're pouring out the tea, you're pouring out just liquid. So here again, you have a whole discussion based on what we just talked about are people mocked it, that the tea leaves shouldn't come into their mouth or not? Are they really trying to keep that out on purpose? Would they drink it either way? So there is a big thought about that. But there's also what many point out, because Nish was actually also note the Lahakil on this issue, that first of all, most Jamaican anyway, that the assumption is that all the tea is settled on the bottom. So if you're pouring from the top, you know, you're pouring a little bit out, gently, so you're pouring from the top, so what's coming out is just pure liquid. And once you get down to the very bottom, so then if you're dealing with an almost empty container, so then maybe you're straining out something. Then the Chazon Ish thought maybe there was also still room l'hakel. Discussion if you're using a pot, using a kettle, where there is some type of a webbing in the front that keeps this out. So the Chazon Ish thought there was a svara that that's not even called a kli either, because the kli is really the kettle. Happens to be there's a little thing at the front, but that's bottle, and this is basically called miyad. Shlomo Zalman was also making on that, because Shlomo Zalman thought that any kli that's made always for immediate usage is going to not be an issur bora. The nature of this kettle, even if it has a little webbing at the mouth, is there always for immediate pouring out and using. So he thinks that's already not called a bora kli, but there were others.
Shlomo Zalman?
Yeah. But there are others who were machmir on this. The Shevet Halevi has a tshuva where he prefers to be machmir. But again, that's I think everybody's making at least on the top part. It's only a question of things that sort of settled in the bottom, and there really is more of a mixture of leaves and water. Then there's that's where this discussion comes into play. We're almost out of time, and I've let you go for Bible. I'll just mention one other issue, which tomorrow we definitely want to start Melachas Machshavas. So we'll decide tomorrow whether I want to continue this point. Just call your attention to it. Maybe give you a Mar Makam, you can look it up further. So it's, of course, current, the recent hot topic. So what if, sorry? Yeah, so what if you're filtering only Machmas Isser, right? So if you're filtering because there are bugs in the water, but the people drink them anyway. So that, there were many studs in Lahakil. At least if you do it b'shinoy or yideh tchak, because presumably the fact that most people can and do drink them without filtering is already enough not to make it an issur d'oraisa. So it's probably at most a d'rabbanan, if that. So then there are a lot of grounds to be mekel b'shas tchak and mekel yideh shinoy. There is a very lengthy article about this in the journal Beis Yisrael, if anybody wants some Aramakum, it's a 15, 16 page article. Maybe we'll take the time out tomorrow to mention some of the Nakudas. Yeah, I'll just mention his basic maskana, in case we don't talk about it tomorrow. His basic maskana is to be noted that there's enough to be Somech on the Hakel. One of the points he mentions, as we alluded to before, is he thinks the Gedulei Karka factor is a thing considered by the Posek. So you remember that the Rabbi Akiva Eger's whole premise by Zohra is that water is not Gedulei Karka and therefore it shouldn't apply. So too, water here is what we're talking about. So it could be Mekel for that reason. It's a big issue in general, or maybe it's a little issue, much discussed, minor issue, that our water faucets in general have a little bit of a meshing inside of them. But that doesn't really seem to create a problem, because it's almost always the case that the water that comes out would be completely just as drinkable one way or the other, and there isn't really much of enhancement that's happening coming through those meshings. The Chazanish talks about this also. The Chazanish talks about, he's not focusing on the Yisr component, talking about if there's sand in the water. So he says that, there's an interesting discussion there, where he says that assuming that it's mostly water and very little sand, so most people would have drank it anyway, so he doesn't think it's an issue. He says, unless it's majority sand. So if it's majority sand, and you need the filter in order to make it water, to get rid of the majority of that sand, so then that would be a problem. But he says you can't assess that's the case by looking at your filter and you see that there's a lot of sand there. So that's not the case. He says, first of all, so if you're going to say that, well, so let's look at it, let's look at the amount of water that's coming just through the faucet right now. So since there's accumulation of sand that's gone through the filter, so right now if I look at that microcosm of the water, so right now it's mostly sand, he doesn't think that's a concern. He says, if anything, that's a karub that's being created in the middle, and that's not normally an active borer. And it's a question whether you have to even count that sand in the equation, the sand that's packed into the filter. So that's not something he's worried about. But if you have water that's really undrinkable, okay, so then the filter becomes a major issue. But in our normal situation, that's basically not the case. So again, our agenda for tomorrow is to start fresh with Malachas Machsheves. I might just like to say a few details about the water machnas.